This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Brandy, is that you?
Bruce, is that you?
Oh my gosh! We're live! Okay, there went everybody's eardrums.
So sorry.
No, that wasn't bad.
Look, so sorry.
So this is live from the Edge here on The Edge. And so this is episode number 15 of our live shows. I just listened back to number 14, which was from February, the season finale of Star Trek Discovery season one. And at the end of the show, we were like, we hope we're going to be back. We hope we're going to do another live show sometime. Well, we are. So here we go.
Yeah.
So Star Trek Short Treks, episode one, called Runaway. And we just watched it a half hour ago. It's been that recent. Usually when we do these shows, I always like to watch the episode at least two times, maybe three. And I only got to watch it once.
So. Yeah, didn't have enough time to watch it again before we started this. And that's okay. That's okay. It's very fresh in the mind, so I think we'll be all right. And you took notes, so see, you're all good.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? We already have people talking in the chat in YouTube, so this is good.
Yay.
Even yay. Justin Izzer says, welcome back. And now I have the Welcome Back Carter theme song in my head right now.
I'm glad welcome I'm not the only back. One. That was the first thing I thought, too.
Well, that's sad, isn't it? We're thinking Welcome Back Carter on a Star Trek show.
Right? And everybody's trying to start a sing-along in the chat, so that's funny. But they're singing Runaway. So.
We will not sing. We'll hold off on that.
But, yeah.
So anybody who's watching, listening live, you can send us tweets at the Trek FM handle, which is Trek FM, and make sure to use the hashtag LiveTheEdge. Now, for future shows, you can also use that same hashtag and send us questions or comments before we go live sometimes, just in case you can't make for the live show, and we'll pick it up and maybe we'll read it or comment on it. And you can also go into the Babel Conference. That's our listeners group on Facebook for Trek FM. If you're a member of that, you can post some things there. And, of course, the best way is because we're on YouTube when we're doing this live is to participate in the chat on YouTube. And that's where everybody's doing their sing-along. So that's the place to go.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely the place to be right now.
Okay, so Brandy, how excited were you about this episode coming out?
Words cannot express my level of excitement because Tilly is my freaking favorite. And I think pretty much anyone who has listened to the main show, The Edge, where we were doing character profiles and I was on for Tilly, I'm pretty sure it was very clear. My love for Tilly is strong and pure. So I was super happy that she was going to have the first short.
Yeah, when they announced all the four different shorts and I knew one of them was going to be Tilly, I too was thinking, oh, I hope she's the first one. And I had a feeling she would be.
Yeah.
Because she's a very popular character. And what a great way to start this than to use one of your most popular characters.
Agreed. Agreed. And I liked this little interlude before we get season two. It's nice to have a taste of something. It's nice to see Tilly again. It's so nice. Sorry, when she's first on screen, I'm just like, oh, I missed you. I missed you so much. I missed you so much.
Sounds yeah, like there's going to be a new ode to Tilly here.
Maybe. It might have to wait until season two finishes. I don't want to be premature. I have plenty to say. Always.
So I have a feeling this episode isn't going to be as long as our others, since the episode of Runaway is only 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I think we could probably fill a half hour, but we're not going to necessarily do that. We're just going to see how it goes, because this is the first time we've had a short, and so it's new territory for us as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so in honor of that, I'm wearing my Discovery shirt, and I'm wearing shorts for Short Treks.
Nice.
So I'm not going to show off my legs. We're only looking from the chest up on YouTube. So the episode starts off, and there's that. It's not a runabout or any kind of like shuttlecraft. It's that thing we saw that grabs things, that flies around. I feel like Tilly right now, you know, like one of those things, those, you know, whatever.
You know, the grabby things that you went out and like painted the ship with, you know, like changed it from a USS to ISS, that thing, you know, and the thing, right? That's it. Wasn't that it?
Yes.
Something like that. Right.
So in the shuttle bay or whatever, everybody leaves. They're going through the, worker bee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is
Her
why.
Kurtratz Productions. I wonder who that is.
I don't know. Is it Dan? Dan? Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. And by the way, if anybody's listening, if for some like miraculous reason, anybody outside of Canada or the United States was able to watch this, like all of a sudden it just showed up on Netflix or something, let us know in the chat. I have a feeling it didn't, but who knows? Miracles can happen. But anyway, so then we see that this alien starts to emerge from some kind of container or something. It looks like programmed the worker bee to let herself out.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of cuts her hand, or she's bleeding, and it's like this like red like lava fluid kind of glowing stuff. Did you think it was the stuff that landed on Tilly's shoulder at first when the season finale from season one? Remember when the spore drive mm-hmm. ended and that little thing flew on her shoulder? I was wondering if it was related to that, but now I don't.
Yeah, I didn't actually think that at all. I never made that connection.
Well, I made because at one point later in the show, a piece of that fluid blood or whatever got on Tilly's shoulder, and that's what reminded me of it.
Fair. That's fair. I just didn't see that connection. So you saw something I didn't, which is why we have two people at least on this show.
Yeah. And your husband, who's in the chat, says it's Tang. So he saw something different.
Well, it was kind of orangey. It was kind of like a lot like Mercury looking, but orangey.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing. I noticed it looked a little different, though, than the spore thing. I just thought it was interesting how it had a similar type of color and landed on her shoulder in a similar manner. And maybe that's just supposed to be a foreshadowing, like a little hint of remind you of something happened to her earlier.
I wouldn't put it past him.
And Justin Ozer in the chat says it made him think of lava.
So, and that's what you said. It said looked like a lava-ish sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So either that or, you know, she's an astronaut drinking Tang.
Yeah. I like Dan's opinion. Her shoulder is just very attractive to random materials and phenomena.
Oh, that's a good point.
Everybody loves Tilly. Everybody.
And her shoulders.
And her shoulders. They really love her shoulders.
So then we go to the next scene, and Tilly is talking to her mother, who calls her Sylvia. And, you know, about command training program. And Brandy, I think you had some thoughts before we went on about this scene. As I drink my Tang.
I was really, really feeling Tilly's frustration and pain in that scene, because I have been in that same situation. No, I wasn't put in the Command program, but I have had my mother telling me, no, you really shouldn't do that. You need to do something. You need to have a real job. You need to have something that's going to provide you money so that you can, you know, have the things you need and have a stable life. I was 8 at the time.
Wow, that's young.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I was still impressionable at that age. And had I just ignored that, I wonder how my life would be different. Because I wanted to be an actress. That is all I wanted to do. And my mother made it very clear to me at that tender age of 8 that that was okay as a hobby, but I couldn't do that as a career.
Well, so you have regrets.
I do. I do have regrets for listening to her in that instance. And I know that it came, in her case, it didn't come from a place of criticism like Tilly's mother. It came from a place of concern and love because of the hardships she herself had been through. But it really is time for parents to stop copying and pasting their expectations onto their children and just let them find out who they are.
And don't you think that her mother, Tilly's mother, is just being overprotective? I mean, we're not talking finances at this point. Not
no. Starfleet. Well, I think she was being overprotective, but again, she's not listening. She's not listening to what Tilly says. She's not really looking at what Tilly does. And granted, there's a lot of stuff that Tilly can't tell her now, but it's just, it's so frustrating to try to explain what your dreams and aspirations are, especially as an adult, and have the people close to you just think that you're really not capable of doing it. And it, I'm not saying that Tilly's mother hates her, but she's not being a good mother. She's really not.
Yeah. And I hope they explore more of that as the season 2 and season 3 or whatever comes up later.
Season 15. Sorry.
In season 15. Yes. But I do, you know, I'm still kind of getting used to even the hologram technology of, you know, speaking to someone who's, you know, pacing around the floor right in front of Tilly, you know, how her mother does that. And I just wonder what it looks like on the other end. Is it like Tilly, is she sitting on a bed in her mother's home, or is she sitting on a flower pot, or, you know, like, who knows? It depends where she's standing.
She's sitting on nothing. She's sitting on nothing.
She's sitting on air.
Yep, she's sitting on air. I've had a few glitches in video games where that has happened, and it's very amusing. So that's what I always pictured it looking like, is that she just like looks like she's sitting on air. So, and I can't believe her mother, and her mother wasn't even paying attention to her facial expressions. She was not, there were so many feelings that I had during that part.
Yeah, and Justin says that he half expected Tilly's mother to comment about her hair.
I was waiting for that, too. But apparently she had new fodder to play with the whole command training thing.
Yeah. And Mir Giorgio commented on Tilly's hair before, right?
Didn't yeah. That happen? Called it her ridiculous hair. Yeah. I just wanted to punch her. I'm just like, are you kidding me? That hair is glorious. People should be proud of that hair because not everybody gets hair that amazing.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you on that. I love her hair. So not that I want that hair, but I mean, if it was the 80s and I was in a rock band, I would want that hair for me. But right now I don't. So now we have, so she goes and Tilly is going to go get some espresso, but, you know, she shouldn't have milk. And, you know, she basically tells the replicator thing to kind of shut up in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And, then all of a sudden, things start to go crazy and food is shooting out and it's calling out all the things, you know, it's like, you know, Caesar salad and your favorite
chicken pot pie.
Exactly. I mean, all these things are just going and going and going. And it's funny how she's ducking behind the chair and she's like, whoa, what's going on? And, you know, what the hell? I mean, she likes to start to curse a bit. I noticed that in this episode, too.
Yeah. And that's fine with me. Again, after my own heart on that front. So,
and David in the chat mentions cheeseburgers were on the list, which is great because that's my favorite food.
Cheeseburgers.
I don't know. Out of all the Star Trek I've ever seen, I don't think it's ever been confirmed in canon that cheeseburgers lasted into the future.
They would have to. Why? How could anyone get rid of the cheeseburger? No sane human would do that.
I would hope not, but I don't think we've ever heard that. So now it's confirmed. Cheeseburgers are canon.
It's a guilty pleasure.
And they were shooting out like a cannon, too, in this episode.
And I would have been there with my mouth open. Cheeseburger.
Oh, yes. And there was a burrito. It's mentioned in the chat. We got to see that, too.
Yay, burrito. Well, we knew there were burritos because there was an episode of Discovery. It was that one where we first see Tilly and Burnham jogging around the Discovery. And when they go to get breakfast, she tells the computer to make these specific breakfast burritos. So we knew there were burritos.
That is true. Good point. So
that's what I'm here for.
Yes. Well, now we meet Poe, the alien. We find out her name is Poe. And she had these spikes that came out of her back. And she reminded me of like some kind of like monkey in a way. The way she was moving and like, you know, just her the way her body would move.
Well,
what did it remind you of?
She was very... It was the movements were very primal, and yet you could tell there was intelligence there. Honestly, the speech patterns before Universal Translator took over reminded me of Enterprise Season 3 episode Extinction.
I thought that too.
Yes, thank you.
I did too, yeah.
Patrick will not be happy about that. Sorry, Patrick. But that it did remind me of that, but she was obviously a very different species. And obviously a little bit skittish at first because she is on her own, but she obviously also knows how to protect herself. But when feeling threatened, you know, those spikes come out. It's a self-defense sort of thing. It's a posturing thing, like a cat arching its back. It's meant to make you look bigger and scarier so that you'll back off. But then when Tilly hisses right back, it was just like, oh, okay, fine. All right.
Too bad Saru didn't walk in. His little ganglia goes off at the same time.
Oh, no. They wouldn't go off. They never go off when they need to. So we already know that. That's
true. And only when it fits the story. Mm-hmm. So we find out that Poe is a 17-year-old kid. And by the way, I did like the whole Universal Translator, how we weren't hearing English or standard language until Tilly opens the communicator and says, okay, now we can talk, basically, yes. You know? And then they enjoy ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's just full of sugar, and sugar's great.
I did enjoy her. My name is Keep Your Filthy Digits Off Me, Human. It's a family name. That was so great. Oh, good times.
Good times. I know that theme song, too.
Okay, let's start it. No, I'm just kidding.
So we find out that Poe is a Sahian, or from Sahians, or is a Sahians, or whatever that is.
Yeah, she's from the planet Zahia.
Yes, I see Justin says that she's a fascinating alien. She could cloak like a Jem'Hadar, and the idea that they believe they were born with the planet was really interesting.
It was interesting. I want to know more about that. I'm not sure how that's physically possible. But I don't necessarily need everything explained to me. So it was just one of those things that went where I said, okay, that's a different one. That's a different idea. Tell me more. But we didn't
well,
get that
yeah.
much more.
So which came first, the planet or the Sahelan? Both at the same time.
Exactly.
They're twins.
Yeah.
So when the planet was born, so was her species at the same time. So they're like all in one. Yeah, I don't know how that would happen. But then again, that's the mysteries of the universe.
Exactly. Just because we don't understand a thing doesn't mean it isn't possible.
Exactly. Wait. Dan, what is this? Does he have a car? What?
Tell me more. Like, does he have a car?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Summer Nights.
Yes,
from
again,
Greece.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just thrown off. I don't know. Where are we going?
I got you, Dan. I knew what you were doing.
It's a very musical episode. So,
Oh, Dave's getting all meta. He said, you are born with the planet as you become conscious of it. What you sense becomes real.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's deep.
That is deep.
Nice.
I have
one,
to go
babe.
Back and rewatch this. Mm.
That's my husband. Yeah.
Well, then, as she's in the mess hall, then all of a sudden people start walking in and Poe disappears. And there's Tilly with all this mess, this food and overturned chairs and tables over the place. And these crew people that walk in see it and just stare at her like, what is going on? And of course, she awkwardly is like, there's a hormone space rabbit in here having mood swings or something. Why not just be straightforward and honest? Because no, I think they just think she's weird all the time. They probably expect this from her.
Well, see, and that's why she leaned into it, because she wasn't going to tell them what was really going on. And so she just leaned into what she knew they would already believe about her and just made up a wild, ridiculous excuse that she delivered in a not believable way.
Maybe she learned that in the command training program.
There you go.
Maybe that is the mascot, is a hormone space rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Those guys can bite, you know. They're mean.
Now I know why Kirk went into the command track.
Yeah.
So at the same time, then we find out that this planet is mined with dilithium. And I was like, ooh, dilithium, uh-oh, this is going to come in play. Mm-hmm. This is going to come in play. This is an attractive planet. And that's what, you know, now the vultures are coming, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing I thought. I thought, oh, well, when the Federation finds out about this, so will things outside of the Federation, and now everything is going to converge on this one little planet because everybody wants dilithium.
Absolutely. And Tilly gets some later.
Yeah, she does.
Poe gives her a little dilithium, little rock as a gift.
Yeah. I've never seen dilithium that small. I'm just used to seeing the big dilithium crystals. So that was different and interesting.
I bet if Scotty had pockets, he would carry a little piece of dilithium with him.
He totally would. I bet every engineer does that. That was on a ship that ran on dilithium crystals.
Maybe. Probably.
Yeah.
So now, Poe, we find out, is very handy, like an engineer. She is an engineer. She even refers to herself as an engineer. And she built an incubator to crystallize dilithium on her planet. So she's a genius.
Yeah, she is a genius. And in fact, when she said that, I said the same thing that Tilly said only about 5 seconds before Tilly said it.
And what was that if you just like slightly edit it?
It was holy stuff, is what she said.
Said that right before she did.
Yeah, she said holy shirt. And then and I had said holy shirt before that. And my husband laughed. It was funny.
Well, I mean, we're starting to see now that there's parallels between Poe and Tilly, that in a lot of ways, they're a mirror image of each other, in a sense. They both are very good at engineering. They have problems with family, I guess you could say, even though Poe's family had died, but she's having issues, you know, with the people on her planet. And Tilly tells her that people that care about you, you know, don't listen to you. That's one of the struggles that Tilly has with her mother. And we're finding out that's the same thing that Poe's struggling with too.
Yes, because they hear the word, well, we don't know this quite yet, but she's the queen. And when people hear the word queen, they stop listening to what she says. So it's just all about fawning and whatever they do with queens. I don't know. I don't know if it's different on her planet, but it's just, yeah, it's, you can be revered, but that doesn't mean that people are listening to you and taking what you say at face value. And that is very frustrating.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. What? Queen?
Oh yeah. I'm the queen.
Oh, you are the queen.
I am the queen
of live.
Mm-hmm. 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 Don't forget it.
We're back to the worker bee, the queen bee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so then I have a note here. Evolution is about the soul. That was a comment that was made that I liked too.
Yes. Yes. That It was breathtaking, really, because, you know, Tilly had to point out to Poe, no, you are the evolution.
That's right. And she has to, it's almost like the end of Mirror Mirror.
Yeah. Where
Kirk inspires Mirror Spock to stand up and start a revolution, stand up for himself.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
That's it. I think that's one of the messages, and that's what Tilly is learning from Poe that she has to do for herself.
Yeah.
I mean, when Tilly's counseling Poe, she's really figuring things out for herself, and these are the things she's also telling herself. Like, she needs to listen to herself and take a stand. I mean, that's part of being in command, too.
Absolutely, and she's going to be, as Poe said, a great commander. I think sometimes that we have a way more difficult time sorting out our own problems than we do helping someone else sort out their problems. And often when you have an exchange with someone like that, as Poe and Tilly did, if you're smart enough, like Tilly was, you find out something about yourself in the process. And there can't be a better cultural exchange than that.
Yeah, I like what you're saying too, because I find that I give people advice, or I'm there to listen and help. And, you know, I'm told by people that, you know, oh, thank you, or that's very insightful, oh, that's really helpful. But then when I become in that situation, when they reflect some of those things back to me, or they say, well, you told me before, but I'm like, I know the answer. I know, but I just can't, I don't know why I can't, you know, it's like, it's so easy to kind of tell someone else. But when you're in the situation, even though you know what to do, it's just harder because emotion is really hard. And, you know, looking from the inside out is just different than looking across at someone's situation.
That's so true, because our biggest blind spot is ourselves. And that is true of pretty much everybody. So unless you're really super in tune with yourself, basically we're our own blind spots. And most of us don't even realize it. I realize it. You realize it. Not that we always make the right decision, even though we realize it, but we're aware of it.
We know what, Brandy, it's like, you know, when you there's somebody you know and your other friends know, and there's just something about that person that's a bit annoying or whatever. And then the conversation is always like, yeah, but you know, I don't even think they realize they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone says that, I'm like, oh gosh, what is it that I don't realize that I'm not doing that nobody's telling me?
Right.
And then I figured it out when I started listening to myself on podcasts. I'm like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, when I listen to myself on podcasts, I realize I say the word "and" a lot, because sometimes if I don't keep talking and I take a small pause, someone thinks that I'm done talking and starts talking when I wasn't really done. And so I draw it out by saying and then they wait because they know I have something else to say.
Exactly. Well, now I've just recently started editing literary treks. Matt Rushing was always editing it for us. And I'm really picking up on stuff on both me and Dan that I just never really stood out as much. You know, it's like you're saying ands and ums and, you know, whatever, you know, and I say like, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, let's look in the chat real quick. What are people been saying here? So Star Trek vessels always have poor security.
Well, she can. She does have this chameleon function, so she could probably make herself invisible to internal sensors.
True, because, yeah, she can fade, so maybe that she has a thing on sensors. And she's an engineer, so she knows how to deal with manipulating machinery.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So let's see. Justin says, anyone else notice one of the crew in the mess hall was the alien with the large blue head we saw before on the bridge? I want to know more about that species. I know when he came on into the mess hall, I was like, oh, I remember seeing him somewhere before. So yeah, I guess it was on the bridge.
Nice. Nice. I recognized that I had seen him before, but I would have to go through the whole of Discovery to determine which episode it was. Not that that would be a hardship.
Yes. Let's see. What other comments do we have here, Brandy?
Well, we have another one from Justin saying, "We're getting deep here. I like it. I think there's more to this episode than I may have thought at first, and I definitely loved it on first viewing."
I have to agree with that, too. This is really odd to do the show right now, because like I said, anytime we do podcasts or even the live show, I've watched something more than once, or when I do literary tracks, I read a book and I have notes and I have time to think back at things, and I really haven't. This is my time of thinking. This is the first time I'm really thinking through everything.
Yes, because even in the other live shows, we've had more time to think. And this time we had, what, 10 minutes? Before we got on and prepared and started. So, yeah, it's we're doing improv, Bruce. This is what we do. We know how to do this.
Yes, and. Yeah. And so Justin also says Poe made him think of Jayla. I can definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, Poe and Jayla. I want to see that, them together.
But yeah, I want it right now. I don't think it'll ever happen. Yeah, same time frame, but different universes.
Yeah, but Jayla's got to exist in the Prime universe somewhere. If she's in the Kelvin universe, she's probably in the Prime universe. Let's get her in there.
I like it. Let's do it.
NeoStar9 says, "Is Poe a new alien to Star Trek? I wasn't sure." I think she's a new alien, and that's what I was assuming, but there was a time where I was like, wait, is this an alien we've kind of seen before that I'm not picking up on? But I think it's a new one.
I agree. I think it's a new one, and I think that that was the right way to go, actually. So, because then you don't have to worry too much about canon, and you can use this in future episodes of Discovery if you so choose.
And I would love to see this character come back.
I want to see their planet.
Yes, that would be cool.
It's too beautiful. Poe said it was beautiful. Yeah.
That's what I hear. Maybe we'll get a postcard. Oh, speaking of, hey, we have postcards from the Edge. So go into the Babel Conference and make your comments there for an upcoming episode of Postcards of the Edge about Runaway. And as before we close out, too, and I want to ask everybody in the group here on the live chat, that this is our first time seeing a official Star Trek short. And so I just was wondering what everyone thought of the format and if this works for you. So I'll just start off by saying, you know, this was 15 minutes. I hear the episodes are going to be 10 to 15 minutes. So we may have some that are a little shorter. But this really worked for me. I could definitely get into watching 15-minute Star Trek episodes. I didn't. It's almost like it could be like a B plot of a regular episode, and you just took the A plot out and you just focused on the B plot, or vice versa, you know? And it was nice because it's also good for character development because you're just staying with that one main character.
Yes, I fully agree with what you're saying. I feel like it's kind of like getting little novellas to go along with a novel series, and it's just a taste of something that gives you a better look into a particular character. I love that. I want more of it. I would be happy if they just kept doing this between seasons. That would make my day. It's basically storytelling at its most basic, because when I was taking creative writing in high school, I had a great teacher that said, this is how you tell a story. You put your character up in a tree, you throw rocks at him, and then you get him down as soon as possible. So that's basically start the story as late as possible, end it as early as possible, and just get the most important stuff in there. And that's what they can do with these shorts.
Interesting. That's a good point. I never heard the thing about the rocks throwing at an animal in a tree.
Well, not at an animal, just your character.
Oh, I just assumed it was an animal.
No, you take your main character, put them in tree, throw rocks at them, get them down from tree.
Okay. All right. So I see ourselves throwing rocks at Tilly in a tree. And that turned into a mess hall of food being thrown instead.
See? There you go. They threw food at her.
That worked. So your husband in the chat says he likes this format. No B plot to weigh the episode down. And Justin Ozer says that he loves the format and is glad that we got the additional story. I agree with that. Dan from Literary Treks and Kurt Treks Production says he has a confession. He hasn't seen the episode yet. And he's in here. Spoilers. Oh, I should have said that at the beginning right now.
Well, he knew it was going to be spoilers. I mean, come on. Dan is an intelligent person.
Dan, you're supposed to go to a friend's house and watch it on Space and then watch it again on Crave TV the next day. He's waiting for tomorrow to be on Crave TV in Canada.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of people weighing in on this. NeoStar9 says, I liked the format. No padding. Straight to the point. Yep. Oh, Dan. Dan said he just wanted to join us because he loves us so much. And we love you.
Exactly. Yes. I'm glad you're here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Justin would love to see short treks for other series, like the Picard series.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the way the beginning of this, the opening, is a short version similar to how Discovery opens. And I thought, I'd love to see this continue, these short treks, but not always have to be tied to Discovery. I want it to tie into Picard, or even not tie into any of those series. I mean, it could be, you could bring one of the actors from Enterprise in and do a short. I think Brandy likes that idea.
I really, really, really do, because Enterprise does not get enough love.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that with any of them. I mean, you could even bring someone from TOS, you know, like maybe George Takei comes in and does a old Captain Sulu or Admiral Sulu short or something. I mean, you could do anything like that.
I would love that. I just want more short treks. I love the way that they started it out. I look forward to seeing the rest of them. And yeah, let's have some for the other series too.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Just, are you listening? Are you listening, CBS All Access? Are you listening?
They are, actually.
I know, they're everywhere.
Well, that's all I have. I'm just looking forward to November 8th. Calypso is the next one.
Indeed. And we, of course, will be back for that one on November 8th. Again, same time. We'll have time to watch it once, and that's it. So there are a couple of things. There are people who have asked if I would read a poem that I wrote. So goofy. I wrote an ode to Tilly, which I did read on an episode of The Edge Main Show when we were talking about Tilly. And Justin is one of the people who has said that I should read it. So, I don't know. What do you guys think in the chat? Do you think I should read it?
Yeah, it's going to take a minute for them to respond. I see other people saying they'd love to see like a DS9 revisit, Ezri Dax short. Everybody seems like it.
Ezri. Yeah, Ezri does go in some different directions in the novels, and I'd like to see them touch on something like that. So, yeah. Okay, Dan says he loves the poem.
You know you're going to do it.
Okay, I'll just do it. Now, I can't guarantee that I'm going to not get emotional, because I'm a very emotional person, and you all know that, and you're just going to have to deal with it. So, I will read you my ode to Tilly.
Yay!
Yeah, shut up. Okay, so this is Ode to Tilly by Brandy Jekyll. O Sylvia, thou lady fair, thine aqua eyes and flaming hair, so full of spirit, brave of heart, such honest wisdom thou impart. Though thought naive, thy sharpest mind did even make Paul Stamets find a kinship with thee and with those who were not swayed by pretty pose. For true of speech thou always are, and even in such times bizarre, thine words would calm and soothe and cheer, releasing friends from weight of fear. Though many found thy goals inane, a captaincy, said with disdain, a mirror dark showed thee the truth of captain's rank despite thine youth. But lo, thy counterpart corrupt did not thy spirit pure disrupt. Thou took the strength but left the hate remaining on thy pathway straight. And were it not for Tilly's nerve, ability to well observe, thy friends ne'er may have won the day and back to their own timeline straight. Sorry, I'm doing it. Oh, Sylvia, thou lady bright, with mind so strong and spirit light, my love so pure, I give to thee my favorite of discovery.
Yay.
Beautiful.
Sorry.
Beautiful. You knew you were going to cry.
I warned you all. You have no excuse. I warned you.
But you got through it. That was great.
I always get through it till I get to that last stanza, and then it's like...
You're getting claps in the chat.
I'm getting a golf clap. Even better. Even better.
So to lighten the mood a little more, I want to tell you something about this woman that I used to work with. She's originally from Georgia. I live in Atlanta now. I'm not from Atlanta, but she was talking about writing a poem. And we were like, what? We're all like, what? What are you talking about? She goes, a poem. And we found out later she was talking about poem. I never heard anybody say poem as poem.
Actually, I have, because my mother's from Arkansas.
And she says poem?
She used to. She doesn't anymore. She's been out of Arkansas long enough that she doesn't say it that way. But she has said poem before. And so has my grandmother. So.
Well, I said to this woman, she's like, it's pronounced poem. I know it's pronounced poem. I'm like, so who writes poems? She's like, poets. I'm like, you sure it's not poems? Hoyets? Or whatever.
Poets?
I don't know.
I love it. Good times.
All right. Well, this has been fun. I'm glad. Yeah, this is like these little short treks once a month is just kind of revving us up for January for season 2 of Discovery. I'm all excited. Look at me. I'm kind of dancing a little here. Like, yeah. You know? I feel like I should be on a cruise ship in a conga line right now. So
yeah.
You want to close this out then?
Oh, you know it. So I've also had now requests for different voices to do. So thanks, guys.
Yes. So
I'm going to do, well, you'll just have to see if you can tell what this voice is.
I already know what it is.
So you know what it is, but if everyone else can get it.
Here we go.
Be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout the week. Live from the Edge airs on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern, and will be released as a podcast on Tuesday mornings. That's when the actual real show returns, you know. I have to correct her. Our commentary will be available as Tracks from the Edge. We will discuss your feedback on Postcards from the Edge. You can catch full analysis on the Edge main show. To wrap up the week, join us for Notes from the Edge, with our own Chris Jones for leaks between Discovery and the broader franchise. You'll find all of these in the main feed for The Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery. The best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where Amy Nelson will collect your feedback from Postcards from The Edge. You will also find us on Twitter at Trek FM, or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trekfm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoab Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Rutner. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an AP, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details.
Woo! That was really good. I'm watching the chat try to figure out, is it Siri or Alexa? Dan thought his phone was talking for a second.
How about if this? Chicken noodle soup. Chicken pot pie. Cheeseburger. Yep. Dan got it!
Yep, the Discovery computer voice. There you go.
Awesome. I knew Dan would get it. Yeah, way to go, Dan. So, yeah. So that's awesome. It. Yeah, November 8th, we'll be back. And I'm raring to go. I'm ready to get right back into this, jump back on this horse and do this thing.
I am too. I like horseback riding, so let's do that.
I do too, but I'm terrible at it. I need lessons.
My wife and I went to go horseback riding with the kids a couple of years ago and found out that she couldn't do it because she has vertigo. As soon as she got on the horse, she had to get down because everything just started spinning.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because everything is so beautiful from the back of a horse. It's just the world looks better.
It does. Well, Brandy, when you're not riding on the back of a horse, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Trek FM network, obviously doing Live from the Edge when we do have something new to talk about. You will find me also on Warp 5 on the Edge, which is the Star Trek Enterprise podcast. And you'll find me popping up from time to time on such things as Literary Treks or the 602 Club. And I do a podcast with my lovely husband, Dave, called the Dark Corner Podcast, which you can find at darkcornerpodcast.com. I do swear like Tilly on that one. And you can also find me on Twitter at Brandywine12. Brandy is with an I, 12 is a number. And I'm always lurking in the Babel Conference. So, you know. And Bruce, when you're not staring at things dripping onto Tilly's shoulders, where can people find you?
Those attractive shoulders, man. It's just
so nice. So nice.
All kinds of things. So you can find me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex. You can find me here on Trek FM on Literary Treks with Dan Gunther. And Brandy comes on as a guest among some other Trek FM hosts. And where else can you find me? Of course, here live from the Edge. And then, of course, you can find me talking Star Wars on the Star Wars Report podcast, which Brandy has been on before.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah. So there you go. And of course, the Babel Conference, as always. So,
as always.
All right. So what's our little stinger?
Oh, come on, man. You know what it is.
I know, because I put it in the notes.
Well, then we just have to say goodnight, everybody, and keep calm and boom on.
Live long and prosper.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks for participating.